The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Oh, good morning. It's good to be with you in person. As I was sitting this morning, the reflection came up for me that it's been 2.5 years since I have sat here and taught in person. 2.5 years. Wait, where did that go? It seems like it was yesterday I was sitting here with people and teaching. So just an appreciation of being back together in person. And it's also an appreciation for this miraculous human life, just the mystery of it. Time passes. Where did it go? It's always now. And we're often so caught up with what is happening in our minds, with the challenge we're dealing with, that just the magnificence of it all. Magnificence, just the chance of being human, being alive, having this precious human birth with all its difficulties and challenges, but such a gift to be human, to be with other human beings, even if they annoy us and push our buttons. But what a gift, really. What a joy. What a joy. So just really appreciating that. So for today's reflections, I wanted to talk about the unexpected power of random acts of kindness. So if you have listened to Buddhist talks before, you would have probably heard at some point about the three poisonous roots of unwholesome actions, and the three poisonous roots being greed, hatred, and what's often translated as delusion or confusion or ignorance, which is, by the way, the root of the other two. So greed is pretty easy to understand, wanting more, grasping more and more. Hatred is easy to understand, pushing away, hating, ill will. And that delusion or confusion often confuses people. Like, what is that? Deluded? Well, one way to understand it is in not knowing any better, and not knowing any better, not just with our minds, but with our hearts. Another way I like to think of it is cognitive bias in the most radical sense. So in psychology, there is this idea of cognitive biases that we have. There's, for example, the recency bias, what has happened the most recently. We think, yesterday I was sad. Oh, I'm just going to be sad for the rest of my life. Well, you don't remember that. Last week you were really happy with joy, right? There's a recency bias. We have so many different biases. Psychologists have studied them. But I like to think of our cognitive bias, this delusion, as a radical, really the most fundamental cognitive bias or perception bias. The perception that greed will make us happy. Hatred is a good thing, or somehow it's going to make us happy. So really the delusion or the confusion is the root of the other two, is this cognitive bias, not knowing like really what really makes us happy and what really serves, what really helps us wake up. Another way to understand these three is by their opposites. In Pali, the language of the Buddha, there's the prefix a that is put between whatever word you put it in becomes negative. So Lobha, dosa, moha becomes alobha, adosa, amoha. So greed, non-greed, generosity being the opposite of it. Hatred, the opposite of it, love, loving kindness. And delusion or confusion or this cognitive, radical cognitive bias of not knowing what leads to freedom, ease, liberation. The opposite of confusion, wisdom. So to think of to consider the remarks I'm going to offer today about random acts of kindness in this context of we don't really know, we have a cognitive bias, and that's what I want to talk about today. We have a cognitive bias, serious delusion of not knowing how much actually random acts of kindness help us in our liberation, in our freedom, in our happiness, in the happiness of others. So that's the framework. So also I'll bring in a bunch of studies in my Dharma talk today, and that's what I usually like to do, having a background as a scientist, especially when there are studies that corroborate what we already know. To me, that is so interesting. To me, that is the Dharma, because Dharma is learning, studying the way things are. And science tries to do the same thing, studying the way things are, learning, discovering the way things are. So finding a lot of confluence. So there has been a lot of research in the past, many years done, on how acts of kindness, practicing loving kindness, metta, the Brahma Viharas, the four practices of the heart, compassion, etc. They lead to more happiness for us. We become kinder. We become less stressed. All the ways that all these practices are good for us. So I'm not going to go so much into that today, because there's a lot there. But what I want to focus on today is our understatement, our underestimation of how much our small acts of kindness actually make an impact in the world. And that's what some new research that has just been published, which is so interesting. So here we go. And there was a recent article in the New York Times on September 2nd, the title of it being "The Unexpected Power of Random Acts of Kindness," that reported on this. So there are pointers for you for later. So this paper was published recently in the Journal of Experimental Psychology. And I love the title of this research paper. "A Little Good Goes an Unexpectedly Long Way, Underestimating the Positive Impact of Kindness on Recipients." I like the paper already. So the scientists did a bunch of different experiments, and in so many setups, basically, as I mentioned, their premise was that yes, we know that the performing acts of kindness already increase the happiness in the givers and receivers, but that the givers systematically undervalue the positive impact on the recipients. So So they set up these different experiments. They had a setup where they had, on a college campus, they had students offer classmates a ride from home to campus, or bake cookies, or buy someone a cup of coffee. And in that experiment, again, everybody, all the people who did these acts of kindness, they didn't quite, they had them fill out questionnaires, how much do you, you know, from 0 to 10, 0 being really insignificant, very small, to 10 being very large. How do you predict that the recipient's mood would change from negative, what kind of an impact it had on the scale, and also what impact would it have on their mood? And systematically, consistently, people would underestimate the impact of these simple acts of kindness, random acts of kindness. And then they did another experiment. they had, this is actually a very interesting one. So they had a, they recruited 200 participants in Maggie Daly Park, I think it was a big park. And they had a control group of 50, and these 50 people simply received a cupcake for being part of the experiment, for just showing up. They received a cupcake. And then they had another 50 people the 50 people who did not receive a cupcake, but they rated how the people who received a cupcake, how they would feel. So they're having this really complicated setup of trying to figure out how people are estimating, right, how other people are feeling about these impacts of kindness. So it's a very interesting, sophisticated setup. And then they had a third group of 50, that they were told that they could give a cupcake away to a stranger. And they were asked to rate both their own mood for doing this act of kindness as well as the recipient's mood for receiving the small gesture. So it turns out that the people who received a cupcake, they were impacted, but the people who received a cupcake from someone else, So the people who received a cupcake as a participant, just as, because they have participated in the experiment, their impact on them, the change in how they appreciated, how happy they became, was less than if they received a cupcake from a random stranger. Because not only did they receive a cupcake, so the people who had received a cupcake were already happy, but if you received as a random act of kindness, you felt, oh, somebody went out of their way to do something kind for me. And so the impact of the random act of kindness, not only is it bigger, but consistently people underestimated how the recipient would feel receiving the random act of kindness. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of different conditions here, a lot of measurements they're doing. But the point I want to make is that the people who received the random act of kindness, they considered the gesture to be significantly more meaningful because somebody did something nice for them. So we tend to underestimate the impact of our small acts of kindness, our small, quote-unquote, small, random acts of kindness on ourselves and how it actually improves our own happiness and well-being and freedom, and I'll talk more about that, and how it impacts others. There's another study where it's another experiment where researchers did a study on simple acts of connection, like texting a friend or picking up the phone and just a simple call. And again, in that study also, they asked the people who were just sending a text to a friend, how are you, thinking of you, right? We do this, right? We do this, but maybe we don't do it enough. We don't do it enough. So they recruited almost, I forget, thousands of people. I don't have it in my notes anymore, but I was looking at it last night. They recruited thousands of people, so this is a pretty statistically significant study. And they asked people to estimate the impact on the recipient, and then they asked the recipient how their mood was shifted, how much they appreciated, how it brightened their day to receive this random text of, how are you, thinking of you? And again and again, statistically significantly, people underestimate how sending a text to a friend is going to have an impact, how it's going to improve their mood, make them happy, make them feel cared for, increase that sense of connection. So we have this radical, radical cognitive bias, this radical delusion. Let's put it in Buddhist terms. We have this radical delusion about our impact, or rather lack of, about our impact on others. We don't really realize how powerful we are. How powerful we are. Just how powerful we are. Some researchers think that maybe, for example, in the case of texting with a friend reaching out to a friend, one reason for it is a liking gap. We have, again, this delusion or this tendency to underestimate how well-liked we really are. Oh, do they really want to hear from us? We underestimate how well-liked we really are. Take that in for a moment. This underestimation of how much people care about us and how happy they become when we reach out. It seems very simple, but it's really through recognizing our power, not just with friends and texting, etc., but with the ripple effects in the world. So speaking of texting, while I'm on that, I recently was quite sick. I actually had COVID a few weeks ago, and I was quite sick. And what a gift it was to be so sick and have a high fever and have friends send texts and call, are you okay? What do you need? Even if I was too tired and sick to respond to them right away, like, oh, I can't even respond. But it was just, yes, this sense of connection, being cared for. And perhaps the friends who sent didn't realize how meaningful that was for me. This sense of metta, feeling held in metta. That probably really helped me recover. Oh yes, I'm not forgotten. People are texting, calling, asking. So let's not underestimate our power. Each and every single one of us has so much power. The power of kindness. And we can do that. There's so much that that can be taken away from us. And I'm thinking of those of you who might be familiar with a man's search for meaning. This amazing book written by Viktor Frankl, who was a psychologist who went through the Holocaust, survived the Holocaust, and he wrote this book remarking and observing that so many people had so much taken away from them. They had their belongings taken away. They had their family, their friends. They had so much taken away. But many people still, the one thing that cannot be taken away from us is our choice. How we think, how we feel, and how we act in the world. Is it with more kindness, or is it with greed, hatred, and delusion? So these choices cannot be taken away from us. All the things can be taken away, but the choice, how to be in the world, how to perceive, and how to act with kindness cannot be taken away from us. So the hope that the researchers have with this study, and I have with bringing it up, is that by realizing, by appreciating how much our acts of kindness in the world actually make a difference for others, that we become more open to being kind, to exercising our power for kindness. There's a little story, actually, that I would read, and I bet we have our own stories. Every single one of us, I bet we have our own stories. But in this New York Times article, it starts with a little story I'll read for you. In late August, Aaron Alexander, 57, sat in the parking lot of a Target store in Fairfield, California, and wept. Her sister-in-law had recently died, and Ms. Alexander was having a hard day. A barista working at the Starbucks inside the Target store was too. The espresso machine had broken down, and she was clearly stressed. Ms. Alexander, who'd stopped crying and gone inside for some caffeine, smiled and ordered an iced green tea and told her to hang in there. After picking up her order, she noticed a message on the cup. "Aaron," the barista had scrawled next to a heart, "Your soul is golden. Your soul is golden." I'm not even sure I even necessarily know what "your soul is golden" means, said Ms. Alexander, who laughed and cried while recalling the incident. But the warmth of that small and unexpected gesture from a stranger who had no inkling of what she was going through moved her deeply. "Of course, I was still really sad," Ms. Alexander said, "but that little thing made the rest of my day." How many of us have had our day made by a small, random act of kindness? I know I have. So many stories, so many instances. One just randomly came up. I remember some time ago, I went to have my blood drawn, and having my blood drawn for a test is not my favorite thing in the world. I have to do it often, and it's just like, oh, still feels strange. And this person at the phlebotomist was so nice. He made my day. He really made my day. I was so happy. I didn't feel unhappy that I was sick. He just made my day. I was just like coming out of having my blood drawn, lots of vials. Like, wow, I feel like I had been graced. I had been touched by grace with just this person being kind, going out of their way to make me feel comfortable. So many examples, so many instances of just kindness, random acts of kindness, everyday kindness can completely change people's lives. There was another story I read some time ago, and this was someone who was quite depressed and perhaps even, you know, thinking, you know, hanging on by a thread, and they would go for a walk every day. And every day on their walk, they would see a neighbor who would just give them a big, bright smile. Big, bright smile, the neighbor. And later, they reached out to the neighbor and said, "You know, that big, bright smile you gave me every day on my walks, it kept me going. It kept me going that there is kindness in the world." that there is goodness in the world. It just, that was the thread that kept me going. So that just, not underestimating the power of simple acts of kindness, just a smile. We underestimate. That's the point I want to make today. We underestimate. Now science says, with these studies, we underestimate the impact we have on each other, the impact on how we have on each other. So that's one aspect of what I want to discuss. But there is another aspect of it. So we underestimate two ways. We underestimate both the impact it has on others, the gift that we make for others. And we also underestimate how much of an impact it makes for us. We completely underestimate. So another research paper I want to bring in, which talks about that other side, is one by Michael Norton, Professor Michael Norton from Harvard Business School, and this was a 2008 study, which showed up in Science magazine. And the title of this is Spending Money on Others Promotes Happiness. Who would have thought, right? And here again, I won't go through too much detail, but they have, it's a very interesting and sophisticated setup. They have lots of different setups, and basically what they find is that, maybe I'll just talk about one of the studies, that when they ask a group of students how much, you know, how much they think spending the money on themselves versus spending the money, so in this study they're giving a group of students some money, $5, $20. So it's not a big amount of money, it's a small amount of money, it's just a token, right? It's buying someone a coffee, right? It's not a lot. And they ask the students, okay, what do you think, how much your happiness would increase if you spend it on yourself versus you spend it on others? And again, we have this delusion of thinking spending the money on ourselves makes us more happy. And sure enough, when you actually spend the money on others, it makes you happier. It makes you happier than spending it on yourself. But of course, I mean, again, there's a lot of detail I'm leaving out. There's the self-care that we need to take care of ourselves, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not talking about that, but that extra level of, do I get myself a gift or somebody else a gift? That turns out it makes us happier to make other people, to be generous with others. And again, this is the delusion we have, because when I tell you, like, no, I don't think so, like, yeah, I want to spend it on myself, right? That's the delusion we have. But actually, when we do it, when we actually do it, and then we get asked, the level of gladness, happiness, is more. So if you're feeling down, if you're feeling unhappy, the fastest way to get a jolt of joy, gladness, is to do something nice for somebody else. To do something nice for somebody else. So if you're at home, if you're feeling unhappy or stressed, sort of, oh, poor me, poor me. Well, reach out. Mm-hmm. Take your phone, perhaps. Reach out to a friend. How are you? How are you doing? I heard you were sick or you're having a hard time. Reach out. Do something kind for someone else. Both you're underestimating how happy it makes them, and you're underestimating how happy it'll make you, and also the sense of social connection. So, in rose by any other name. I've been talking about loving kindness, right? Practicing loving kindness today. It's about loving kindness, and it may not necessarily be just sitting on the cushion and wishing yourself well or wishing other people well, which is beautiful. Loving kindness is a wonderful, wonderful practice. I love practicing it. I love teaching it. During happy hour, please come join us every day of the week, 6 to 7 p.m. online. And some people say, well, I don't have the time to come and join happy hour or sit on the cushion and practice loving kindness. No problem. Go out into the world. You have so many opportunities to be kind for random acts of kindness. In fact, I saw this. This is a fun one. A grandma in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, started a smile and wave challenge on their Nextdoor. I think you're familiar. Nextdoor is this app, is this community forum where each neighborhood, you can send email or post to your neighbors. You're nodding, so many of you know what Nextdoor is. So this person in Tampa, Florida started the smile and wave challenge. And got the whole neighborhood, just everyone you see, smile and wave, smile and wave. And she said she got about 75% of people to smile and wave back, and that was that 25% that she wanted the help of everybody else in the neighborhood to reach, to just smile. And it's a nice quote that she says, if someone doesn't have a smile, then give them yours. If someone doesn't have a smile, then give them yours. Especially nowadays, if someone doesn't have a smile, give them yours. So we underestimate our power. We underestimate our power for good. No need, especially if you ever feel powerless, you're underestimating your power, your impact, your likability. You're underestimating so much impact you have. The Buddha says, practitioners, if people knew as I know the fruits of sharing gifts, they would not enjoy their use without sharing them, nor would the taint of stinginess obsess the heart. Even if it were their last bit, their last morsel of food, they would not enjoy its use without sharing it, if there was someone else to share it with. From Iti Vuttaka 18. So, kindness, loving kindness, which is intertwined with generosity in Buddhism. Really, it's the generosity of the heart that when we feel like, okay, we have so much to share, every single one of us has so much to share. So of course, you know, this idea of random acts of kindness doesn't mean now, okay, now, all right, now do I have to go learn how to bake cookies or buy everybody coffee? No, it doesn't mean that. Whatever is part of your wheelhouse, part of your what you naturally do. If you love baking cookies, sure, please do that. But maybe you have the skill of listening. Again, reaching out or whatever you already have in your wheelhouse, in your skill, in your bag of skills, that's what you can be generous with, you can be kind with, you can have an impact. You're already so wealthy. Each of us is so wealthy in the ways that we can be kind. A couple of other things I want to say before closing. One is also in the Buddha, in the sutta of a person's of integrity's gifts, he says, there are five um, There are five ways that a person of integrity gives a gift. And what are those five? A person of integrity gives a gift with a sense of conviction. With a sense of conviction. A person of integrity gives a gift attentively. Especially like this one. Actually, I like all of them. So with a sense of conviction, sense of conviction, right? Giving the gift, giving an act of kindness. With conviction, attentively. So it's like, you know, if you're giving someone a gift, you don't give them a gift you're looking elsewhere. Like you look at them. You give it to them. You give it with both hands, not with just one hand. Like, oh, here, I have a gift for you. Whoops. This is take it. Like, you give it attentively, right? There is a way to honor another one with an act of kindness or a gift or a generosity. The third, a person of integrity gives a gift in season. A person of integrity gives a gift with an empathetic heart. I love this one, empathetic heart. And the last one is a very interesting one. The last one, a person of integrity gives a gift without adversely affecting themselves or others. So this is an interesting point here also. So an act of generosity, kindness, not to adversely affect oneself and others. So to keep that in mind. So I want to close with a poem by Lanusha Lameris. It's called Small Kindnesses. I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull in their legs to let you by, or how strangers still say, bless you, when someone sneezes. A leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we are saying. Sometimes, when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of coffee hot and to say thank you to the person handing it. To smile at them and for them to smile back. For the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder. And for the driver in the red pickup truck to let us pass. We have so little of each other now. So far from tribe and fire. Only these brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy? These fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first. I like your hat. What if they are the true dwellings of the holy? These fleeting temples we make together. What if? What if? These brief moments of exchange. These fleeting temples we make. Holy fleeting temples. We can all make them together. And the last quote from Helen Keller. Believe when you are most unhappy that there is something for you to do in the world. Believe when you are most unhappy that there is something for you to do in the world. So long as you can sweeten another's pain, life is not in vain. So long as you can sweeten another's pain, life is not in vain. Let's just sit together for a minute. Let the words settle. Thank you all for your kind attention. So let us make today a random act of kindness day. Both all of us here together in this hall and all of you on YouTube. Let's together have the ripples in the world of random acts of kindness. So, and if you do, we can send me email. Take care. Be well, be kind.